We're living. Well, first of all, we need your prayers. We're living in an age of discontentment where people's satisfaction with things is very short-lived. And the result of that is that people are given to change. Now, they may have something that is in perfectly good condition. Nothing wrong with it at all. But this thing is old, and I want something new. Maybe furniture, automobile, something of that nature, some type of machinery, equipment. And the quality of what they possess exceeds the quality of what they exchange it for. But this thing is old, and I want something new. Now, it works that way, dear ones, not only in a natural sense, but also in a spiritual sense. I'd like for you to turn with us, first of all, to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. I want to read verses 19 through 21. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is.
Well, thou bringest certain strange things to our ears.
Yes.
We would know therefore what these things mean.
Yes.
For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing.
All right. I believe that's good.
Amen.
These people were interested in new things.
Yes.
Now, we're living in modern times, in a time of great advancement in almost every field and every area that you deal with. Great advancement. We're living in an age of wisdom, in an age of great knowledge. And the result of that is, because of the great advancements that people have made and all the wisdom and knowledge that we deal with today, people are dissatisfied. They are discontented, and so they are forsaking the old paths and the old ways, both in a natural sense and in a spiritual sense. Turn with us now to the book of Isaiah, the 30th chapter. I'd like for you to read beginning at verse 8 down through verse 11, please. Yes.
Right, it said 18.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Now go, write it before them in a
table. Write it before them in a table.
And note it
in a book.
That it may be
for a time to come, even forever and ever.
That this is a
rebellious people.
Lying
children.
Children
that will not hear the law of the Lord. Which say to the seers, see not.
And
to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things,
speak
unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. These people were dissatisfied with the old paths and with the old ways, and so they forsook the old paths. They turn from the old ways. Now I thought about, dear ones, how we're living in a day and age when people are desiring something more attractive. They're desiring something more appealing. They're desiring something that's more adapted to the time that we live in and the lifestyle of the people.
Yes.
And so they're forsaking the old paths, the old ways, the old wells. But I want to leave a little warning with us, dear ones. A warning about seeking after new things in a spiritual sense, because Satan, the enemy of all souls, have many new paths to present to precious souls. Those paths will lead you into snares. They'll lead you into traps. They'll lead you into pitfalls. I thought about Christian and his companion in Pilgrim's Progress as they journeyed along the pathway to the celestial city. The path got a little rough that they were traveling. But just across the fence, there was another pathway, and it was very enticing to them. It was led through a beautiful meadow, I believe it was, right down the way that they were headed. And so they got over into that path, not realizing, dear ones, that that path was going to lead them into a snare. It was going to lead them right into the territory of giant despair. It was going to lead into the dungeon. It was going to lead them to ruin and destruction. But for the mercy and help of God. Oh, folks, listen. Satan have many new ways to present to men and women and boys and girls. Oh, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Satan have many new wells, but all the wells of the water from those wells are extremely poisonous, folks. And those individuals that partake of those waters, it causes spiritual sickness. It causes spiritual death. Oh, listen, folks. God wants us to stay with the old path. He wants us to stay with the old ways. He wants us to stay with the old wells as we journey along the way. All right, in the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse.
Thus
saith the Lord.
Stand ye in the way.
Stand ye in the way. And see,
and ask for the
old path,
where
is the good way,
and walk therein,
and ye shall find rest for your soul.
But they said,
we will not walk therein. They forsook the old path. But the old path leads to rest. It leads to spiritual rest. It leads to soul rest. It even leads to rest for the mind and rest for the body. In the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Folks, that old path, it leads to rest. Rest from guilt. Rest from condemnation. Rest from tormenting fears. Rest from sinful labors and all the burdens that Satan have laid upon the hearts and minds of men and women and boys and girls. Rest from bitterness. Rest from hatred. Rest from envy. Rest from strife. But all folks, listen. In the light of all that the old path have to offer, people are still forsaking it, turning from it. I want something new. Many people forsake the old path because of the price that one must pay, because of the conditions and the requirements that one must meet to enter into the old path and to walk that old way. There are some conditions and some requirements that you and I must meet. But all folks, listen, the reward that you and I receive when we do the things that God would have us to do, the rich blessings that He has to bestow upon your soul and my soul, is worth it all.
Amen.
The old path. In the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, and verse 19, please. Someone, if you would, get 2 Corinthians 7 and 10 for us, please.
Repent ye therefore
and be converted
that your sins
may be blotted out
when the time
of refreshing shall come
from
the presence of the Lord. Folks, to enter into that old path and to walk that old way, an individual must repent. This is the condition. This is the requirement that they must meet. That soul must repent before God. All right, 2 Corinthians 7 and 10.
For godly sorrow
worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Listen, folks, when the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to an individual soul, and God began to teach them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, they should live soberly, righteously, and godly right here in this present world. John speaking, I believe, in about the 14th chapter, maybe about the 7th verse of his writing, he said when the Spirit of the Lord would come, he would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Listen, dear one, when the Holy Ghost began to deal with an individual's eternity-bound soul, he began to enlighten them. He began to convict them. He began to convince them of their transgressions, of their wrongdoings, of their sinful ways. But oh, he don't stop there. He convicts them and he convinced them of the righteousness of God, that you can live a righteous life. You can live a holy life. You can live a clean and pure and spotless life. You can live a life that's free from the power of sin. And folks, he'd go on to convict them of the judgments of God, that if you stiffen your neck and you just go on your way and you pursue the course, you follow the path that you want to follow, it's going to bring you under the wrath of God. It's going to bring you under the judgments of God. But all that precious soul that would give heed to the dealings of the Holy Spirit, repent ye therefore and be converted, as God deal with their eternity-bound soul. That individual become broken, that heart become broken, that spirit become contrite, that individual become grieved deep down in their soul. Lord, I'm sorry I've transgressed your divine law. I'm sorry I've trampled underfoot your tender mercy. I'm sorry I've gone contrary to your will, to your word and to your way. And that individual surrender to God. They submit to God. They yield their heart and life to God. Oh, folks, listen. This is what it takes to enter in, dear ones, to that path, that old path, and to walk that old way.
Yes, amen.
That individual must become a new creature.
Right.
In Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
All things pass away, and behold, all things become new.
Yeah.
That individual must be converted. They must turn from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God. Oh, listen, a definite and actual change must take place in their heart and in their life as they journey through this dark and sinful world. That song poet said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have light in my soul which for long I had sought. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins which were many are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Folks, this is what it takes. This is the condition. These are the requirements of God. If you and I would enter in to that old path, and if we would walk that old way, God is requiring this of us.
Amen.
But oh, listen. In the light of all the blessings of the old path, many people are forsaking it. Many people are turning from it. They are dissatisfied with that old path. I want something a little less costly. That costs a little bit too much. I've got to repent. I've got to give this up. I've got to give that up. And that's a little bit costly. I want something that's a little less, with a little less maintenance to it. Kind of low maintenance, that I don't have to take such a good care of, be so concerned about it. Oh, listen, folks. The old path. Thus saith the Lord. God said this. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Once you've made the inquiry, once you've understood where that old path is, the Lord say, enter into it and walk in it. It's a way of rich blessings.
Amen.
It's a way of rich blessings, dear ones. The old path, the good way. Turn with us to the book of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Would you begin reading at verse 11? Read a few verses for us, please.
And he said, a certain man...
A certain man, yes?
And the younger of them said to his father,
the younger of these young sons came to his father and said to his father,
Father, give me the portion,
portion of goods
that
falleth to me.
And he divided,
unto him his living.
And not many days,
days afterward,
the younger son
gathered all together, took his journey into a far country.
There
wasted his substance with riotous living.
And when he had spent all,
there arose a mighty famine in that land,
and
he began to be in want.
And he went and joined
himself, to a citizen of that country, who sent him into his field to feed swine.
And
he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat.
And no man gave unto him.
Amen. Would you hold it right there, please? This young man became dissatisfied with the old path, with the old way. And he came to his father and he said, Father, give me that portion of goods that falleth to me. And he gathered together all of his living, took his journey into a far country. There he wasted his substance with rowdiest living. I want another way. I want a new way. Now listen, the old way of the quality of it up and all that it had to offer up, and yet precious souls are forsaking it up. They are turning from it up. It's old. I want something new. I want to be able to do what I want to do. I want to have my way. I want to talk like I want to talk. I want to act the way I want to act. I want to dress the way I want to dress. I want to go where I want to go. And so they forsake that old path.
Yes.
And they seek out something new.
Lord.
But oh, thank God, this young man came to himself.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, after he had spent all, folks, this is the way the world will do people. This is the way Satan, the enemy of all souls, treat those that's on his territory. Listen, this young man, after he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He had no friends now. No one to help him. No one cared for him. No one was concerned about him. So he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country who sent him into his field to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But he came to himself. He began to think about the old path. He began to think about the old way. He began to think about Father's house. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and I'll go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That young man arose, and he came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, and he told the servants, bring hither the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, for this my son was lost and is found, he was dead and he's alive again.
Yes, praise
the Lord. That old path, folks, lead right into the arms of Jesus. It leads to royalty.
Yeah.
Then he said, put a robe on him. Take off these old rags and put a robe of righteousness on him. Make him a king. Make him a priest that he can reign on the earth. Oh, folks, listen. That old path leads into the rich blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. This young man now, to put some shoes on his feet. Assemble, dear ones. He's no longer a slave. He's no longer bound by habits. He's no longer bound by spirits. He's no longer bound by lust. He's no longer bound by sin and Satan. He's been delivered. He's been liberated. He's been set free now. Put shoes on his feet.
Yes, amen.
The old path, folks.
Yes.
All the blessings of the old path. But sad to say, dear ones, in the light of all that it had to offer, men and women and boys and girls are forsaking it. They are turning from it. And they're going their way after something that's new.
Yeah.
Old paths. Leads into a place of safety. leads into a refuge. Leads into Father's house. And Father's house is a house of plenty. Everything that you and I need is in Father's house. He said He would supply all of our need according to His riches and glory, whether they be spiritual needs, or whether they be physical needs, or whether they be mental or temporal needs. Our Father's house is a house of plenty, and everything that you and I need is right in Father's house. Old path leads to Father's house. Someone turn to the book of Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Read verse 8 for us, please.
And an highway shall be there and a way.
A highway shall be there and a way.
And it shall be called the way
of holiness. And it shall be called the way of holiness.
The unclean shall not pass
over it.
But it shall be for those
the wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein. That old way is a way of holiness. It's a way of purity. It's a clean way, dear ones. And this is the way that leads from earth to heaven. And this is the way that God is desiring that men and women and boys and girls would walk in that old way as they journey through this dark and sinful world. Turn with us in connection with that to Matthew, the 7th chapter, reading verses 13 and 14, please.
Enter ye in at the strait gate.
For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, listen, the old way is a narrow way.
Yes.
But it leads to heaven, folks.
Amen.
Oh, it leads to rich blessings. It leads to that verdant summer land. It leads to a place, dear ones, where the streets are gold, where the walls are jasper. It leads into a place where there'll be no sickness, there'll be no sorrow, no death, there'll be no heartache, there'll be no tears, there'll be no hunger, no thirst, no heat, no cold, but all will be glory in that land. Oh, folks, that old way, it's a narrow way. But it leads into the rich blessings of God. But yet in the light of all that it have to offer, men and women and boys and girls are forsaking the old way. They are turning away from it. It's too narrow for us. We want something new. We want a broader way where we can carry along with us those things that we desire to carry along with us. We can carry the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, such like. These are the things that we want to carry with us, and the narrow way won't admit it.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that narrow way is a good way, dear ones.
Amen.
It's the way that lead to heaven. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, in verse 24, please.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples,
yes,
if any man will come after me,
let him deny himself
and take up his cross
and follow me.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it.
And whosoever will lose his life for my sake
shall find it.
Now the old way is the way of the cross.
Yes, that's right.
It's a way of suffering.
Yes.
It's a way of sacrifice.
Yes.
It's a way of self-denial.
Yes.
But it's a way of glory.
Yes.
It's a way of glory. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter in verse 12, please. Someone, if you know the number of that song, light after darkness, gain after loss. You'll find that for me, please. It's one verse in there that mentions something about the crown coming after the cross.
322.
Okay. All right, 2 Timothy 2 and 12.
If we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
Yes.
If we deny him,
yes.
He also will deny us.
Yes.
If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful.
Now, if we suffer with him,
himself.
He cannot deny himself.
Amen.
If we suffer with him,
yes.
We will also reign with him.
Yes.
In this time world, we'll reign with him.
Amen.
That song poet said, I am reigning in this life. Reigning over all the opposing powers of the enemy. Reigning over the flesh. Reigning over self. Reigning over corrupt and evil desires. We heard about desires this morning. And how sometimes people's desires go out and they go astray. We can reign over corrupt and evil desires as we journey through this dark and sinful world. See what 1 Peter 5 and 10 say, please. 1 Peter 5 and 10.
Well reported for good works.
1 Peter 5 and 10.
That the God of all grace.
Yes.
Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus.
Yes.
After that ye have suffered a while.
After you have suffered a while.
Make you perfect.
You perfect. That old path is a path, it's a way of the cross. It's a way of suffering, but look what come along with it. After you have suffered a while, what he'll do?
Make
you perfect.
Establish.
Strengthen. And settle you. The old way. That writer said light after darkness. Now, every one of us at one time was in sinful darkness, in spiritual ignorance, but God shone the glorious light of His gospel into our darkened minds and into our darkened hearts. And when we surrendered and submitted to God, the Lord dispelled all of the darkness and filled our soul with light. Light after darkness, gain after loss. After we lose our life,
amen.
After I give up my ways, give up my thoughts, give up my desires, then I can gain eternal life. I can gain spiritual life. I can gain the life of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But it only comes after loss.
Yeah.
After I've lost my life. All right? Strength after weakness. Oh, after you and I recognize that we are dependent creatures.
Amen.
We are feeble creatures.
Yeah.
We cannot do anything of our own. Had it not been for the mercy of God, not a one of us could have gotten out of bed this morning. Not a one of us could have even opened our eyes this morning. But for the mercy and the strength and the help of God, we were able to do what we've done.
Amen.
Strength comes after weakness. When we realize our weakness and we lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul said, then are we strong.
Yes, amen.
The writer said, crown after cross.
The Lord.
After we bear the cross, when we're willing, dear ones, to endure some things, willing to go across the grain with the flesh as the Spirit of God deal with our heart and God's Spirit direct us as to what we are to do, and the flesh is wanting to go in a different direction, but we're willing to go against the flesh. We're willing to obey the Spirit of God, folks. That's where the crown will come in. The crown is after the cross. And that old way, that narrow way, though it is the way of suffering, though it is a way of the cross, look at the blessing.
Yes.
It leads to a crown of eternal life.
Praise the Lord.
The old way.
Yes.
All right. Praise God. Thought about that song poet. He said, I'm walking in the safest path that anyone has trod. It leads straight through this world of sin up to the throne of God.
Amen.
It's the good old way, the gospel way that my Savior's feet have trod.
Amen.
It's the blood-stained way, the Calvary way,
yes.
But it leads straight up to God.
Yes.
It's a good way, folks.
Yes.
And it will lead us right in to the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Turn with us now to the book of Genesis.
Can I give you that last verse of that song?
Yes.
So good.
Amen.
After this, gleam after gloom.
Yes.
Love after loneliness, this life after two.
Amen.
After long agony, rapture of bliss.
Rapture of bliss.
Right was the pathway.
Amen.
Leading to this.
Right was the pathway. That's the way. Well, amen. But, you know, the devil will try to make you think that's not the right way. That's the way he operates. Well, all of this suffering, all the problems, all the troubles that you're going through, the persecution, the rejection, how could it be the right way? But, oh, it's the right way, folks. It's the right way. It leads into the arms of Jesus. It leads into that land of eternal bliss. And if we will follow that way, this life, folks, is only for a short time. Oh, listen, Moses realized something. It said when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses knew that this thing was going to last only a short time here in this world, and then you and I would go out into eternity, out into that spirit world, and so he made a wise choice. I will not take that new path. I will not take the new way that Satan is presenting to me. It'll lead me into traps and snares and pitfalls. It'll lead me to ruin. It'll lead me to eternal destruction. And so he chose the old way, that way of affliction, to suffer with the people of God.
Amen.
But he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Amen.
Oh, there's going to be a reward one day.
Amen.
But listen, folks, the reward is not always, not all on the other side. God rewards us right here in this present life. When you and I live for Him, when we stand for Him, God rewards us. He blesses us greatly right in this time world.
Amen.
Yes, that's right.
The old path. The old way. Genesis, the 26th chapter, verses 17 and 18, please. Someone get Isaiah, the 12th chapter, and verse 3 for us, please.
And Isaac departed thence,
and
fixed his tent in the valley of Jerah.
Yes.
And dwelt there.
And he dwelt there.
And Isaac digged again the well of water.
The well of water.
Which they had digged
in the days of Abraham, his father.
But the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham.
Now listen, he didn't go out seeking new wells. He digged out of those same wells that had been dug in the days of his father.
Yes.
He understood the quality of the water that those wells produced and the abundance of the water that those wells produced. And so he didn't go out looking to dig some new wells. He dug out of those same wells that his fathers had dug from. All right, Isaiah? I believe that's good. Thank you on that one. Isaiah, 12th chapter and 3rd verse.
Therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation.
Praise God.
There's some wells in salvation, folks.
Yeah.
There's some wells in what you and I are dealing with.
Yeah.
The writer said, therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation, those sweet waters, those blessed waters, Oh, listen, folks. God has some rich blessings for those precious souls that will stay with the old paths, that will stay with the old ways, that will stay with the old wells, and will not tire of it, will not become dissatisfied and discontented with it, and reach out for something new. Listen, folks, the quality of these things far exceed the quality of any other path, way, or well. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, reading verses 35 through 39, please.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Shall tribulation
or distress
or persecution
or famine
or nakedness
or peril
or sword?
As it is written,
for thy sake
we are killed all the day long.
We are accounted as
sheep for the slaughter.
Nay,
in all of these things,
we are more than conquerors.
You know why Paul said that? He was drinking from the well of love. And he drank deeply from that well, dear ones. And the result of it was that the waters of that well bound Paul to Christ. It constrained him. It empowered him. It caused him to be able to triumph over his enemy, to conquer, to overcome, to defeat the foe that was coming against him, folks, because he was drinking of the waters of that spiritual well of love. And there's power in love, folks. The writer said many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. The problems, the tests, the trials, and the afflictions, and all those things. Paul named a list of things here, but none of those things were able to overcome him because he drank deeply from the well of love, and it empowered his eternity-bound soul to be able to resist and withstand the enemy and to triumph over his foe.
Amen.
Those old wells, folks. That's what God wants us to drink from. And our fathers drank deeply from that old well of love. And the result was it caused them to love God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their strength, and with all of their mind. It caused them to love their neighbor as themselves. It caused them to love their enemy. Those old wells. In the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, 11th, I'm sorry, the 11th chapter in verse 6. Yes, please.
But without faith.
Without faith.
It is impossible
to please him.
For he that cometh to God
must believe that he is,
and that he is
a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our fathers drank deeply of the well of faith, and the result was it caused them to believe, it caused them to trust, it caused them to confide in, it caused them to rely upon, it caused them to depend upon the God of heaven. And listen, dear ones, the waters from that well linked them to a power source that caused them to be able to work miracles, to cast out devils, to cure all manner of disease, to lay hands on the sick and they recover, and to live a consistent, righteous, holy, victorious life. Old wells. But we're living in a time that people are digging new wells. They're here hewing them out cisterns. And the result is they're turning to the aid of man, to man's wisdom and to the arm of flesh. And the result is a weakened people and a weakened nation. Old wells. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in verse 13, please.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized.
By one Spirit.
Yes.
Are we all baptized into one body?
Whether we be Jews
or Gentiles.
Whether we be bond or free.
And have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Yes.
You know what the result of that is, of us all drinking into one Spirit?
Yes.
It brings about unity.
Yes.
Harmony.
That's true.
Yes.
Oneness.
Yes.
Agreement. And folks, where there is unity,
yes,
there is power.
Yes.
This is the result. That Psalm 4 said, one in mind and one in spirit.
Yes.
One in doctrine, faith, and love.
Yes.
One in name, O precious union, like the angel host above.
Yes.
But oh, again, people are forsaking these old wells. They're ceasing to drink the water, drink into God's divine spirit. And the result is, folks, that it brings about, it breaks down the unity of God's people. And Satan is able to come in, and victories that you and I should have, we're not able to get it because we're not united together. Old wells. Drinking of God's Spirit. The result of drinking of the Spirit of God is the heavenly anointing of God upon His people. Upon our lives, first of all, folks. God anoint the very lives of His people. Sometimes the saints can go in places, maybe in the store, in the bank, or somewhere, in contact with people you've never seen. You don't know anything about them. People will just come up to you and they'll say, aren't you a Christian? And they'll begin, they see something.
Yes.
That's the effect of God's Spirit, His anointing your very life, your very being, your very appearance. And those people see something in you that they don't see in the rest of the people that's round about you. The result of drinking of the Spirit of God is the heavenly anointing of God upon individuals' lives and upon us collectively. It anoints it's the anointing of the prayers when we pray, whether it's a private prayer, whether it's a prayer in the assembly. God's Spirit anoints it, folks. And this is the key thing to any of our dealing, is to have the anointing of God upon it. God's anointing upon His Word.
Yes.
God's anointing upon the singing. God's anointing upon testimonies. This is the result, folks, of drinking deeply of the Spirit of God. Someone can get up in a prayer service with a simple little testimony, but it's anointed of God, and it brings joy to the hearts of God's people.
Amen. Praise the
Lord.
Well, praise God. Old paths, old wells, old ways, and old time religion. Anybody know a verse or two of that song? Give me that old time religion. Yeah.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion.
It's good enough for me.
Makes me laugh.